John 3:16. And that's what I wanted to go from this morning. John 3:16. You can turn there if you want. And we're not going to do the whole verse, but I thought this certainly is the basis of what we want to talk about. For God so loved the world that He gave. And I'm going to stop there for now. For God so loved the world that He gave. The object of the sentence is the world. The act is loved, and the degree is so. God so loved the world that He gave. Now, I don't know about you, but Christmas can be anything but the love of God. But that's really what it is all about. And somehow, I mean, we're good at it. Human beings are good at messing everything up. And really, Christmas kind of is everything but John 3:16 anymore. And I think it's so easy to, like, Black Friday, that has never excited me. Not even the word excites me, Black Friday. Why isn't it White Friday or Red Friday or Black Friday? It just seems ominous. You know, you're going to go spend all this money and then you're going to have to, well, you're probably going to do it with a credit card and then you're going to have to pay for it. Yeah, I've been having something just the last 2 weeks with my credit card. The information stolen. And so I start getting all this stuff at my house. They stole my credit card information, then they're buying stuff and sending it to my house. You ever hear that? So I cancel, yeah. No, the stuff they're sending, wow, they did send steak and, what was that? Steak and shrimp. That was pretty good. But everything else, I mean, it's pretty goofy. And so I cancel my credit card, and they want to send you new credit cards. And so when they sent me the new credit cards, I didn't activate them. And yesterday I get home, and there's these boxes at my door. And I'm going, what in the world? And so I get on and check my credit card. I didn't even activate my cards, and they've got the numbers already. Sending me more stuff. I am blowing my mind. Why do we want to put up with that kind of stuff? You know what I mean? I mean, that's our world, though. You know, the credit card, I can remember, this was back in the dark ages, Kim and I got married and on our honeymoon. We went on our honeymoon back in the dark ages and we flew out west and I didn't own a credit card at the time. And so we paid everything with cash. I had cash with me and we got there and I couldn't get a car. And they told me the when I bought my plane ticket and the travel agent said, oh, you know, you can just rent a car when you go out there. And so we couldn't rent a car. So we took a bus from the airport to the hotel, and it was like 1 a.m. And we were just kind of stranded there. And then a friend of mine gave us his like 1964 Ford pickup. And so we've ran around in that. And what was neat is on the freeways out there, you got to get going. And it was a column shift. And I'd be shifting. And I have a tractor that does it. Like the linkage sometimes sticks and it won't move. So I'd have to pull off the freeway, open up the hood and he had a crowbar in there. And you had to like get the linkage loose. So that was our vehicle, our honeymoon vehicle. We drove all over the place with it. It was a blast. And so, why am I off on this? Credit cards and spending money. You spend the money with a credit card, you got to pay for it. The bill comes. I think that's why it's black, right? Black Friday. Is that why it's Black Friday? Because you spend all this money and then you have to pay the bill. All right. why is Christmas just all about this stuff? Trees and lights and decorations and special things. And then the whole thing of giving. And what I found as I looked at this week and thought about tried to look at my own heart. My own heart is so like wicked and goofy. And I was thinking, why when I personally give things, as pure as I try and be, it's not pure. I don't know if you understand. I'm always, even when I think this is the nicest thing to do, I'm going to give this. Don't you really, in the back of your mind or your heart, kind of think, I'm going to benefit somehow from this. If I give this, at least they'll like me maybe, right? I mean, I'm getting a return on my giving. And then to have like a holiday or a season, and it's really a season, isn't it? It runs months, really, when you talk about paying off the bills then. It's all about receipt, you know, why do we think that? You're making your list and you're checking it twice. Well, I was thinking about God and I was thinking about this verse and I was thinking about the season. And for God so loved the world that He gave. That's what Christmas is about. It's about what God did and why He did it. And it blows my mind. And I will say right off the bat, the depth of, we're going to talk about really just God's love. Yeah, I think we just scratched the surface of it. My little pea brain, I don't understand it. It's hard for me to comprehend it. But God so loved what He loved. He loved the world that He gave. And we're going to see, of course, He gave, He sent His Son. So the whole season of Christmas really is about what? The gospel. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about salvation. That's what God was up to. For God so loved. It's about the love of God. And I think that as we look at the love of God, there was a reason that God chose to love. Guess what that reason was? Was it because we're so lovable? No. No, in fact, we're miserable. We're miserable people. We're wicked people. The Bible says there's nothing good that dwells in us. We're sinful people. So it's not that I always like those little, though I never got one, but those little, are they called Furbies? You know, they're a popular thing, right? They're kind of hairy and they're kind of, you know, I'd like to cuddle with that little, I want a little Furby. Right? And it's like, you know, we're not little Furbies. You know, we're like little porcupines. Ah! You know, it's just like, you know, the beginning and the first cause of our salvation simply is the mere love of God. Our misery, our lostness, our hopelessness is like the outward occasion of the love of God. The inward moving cause is simply His love. It's God loved. Now, what's the reason for His love? What's the bottom line for God's love? This is deep. His love. That's the reason. why would He save worthless man? Why did God give? Why did God send Jesus? Because of His love. Why did God love us? He loved the world. It's us. Because He loved us. That's it. Is this confusing you? See, we think we're going to see, what does the Bible teach about God? That God is love. And so out of His love, it wasn't because of anything that we are or we aren't. It's simply because He is love, and so He loved us. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Now, God chose Israel. The Jews, we know them as God's chosen people, right? Let's look at we'll take it from verse 6 of chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Why did God choose Abraham? The Lord did not set His love on you. And we're just going to apply this to us. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people. Really, they were the least of all the people. And I think we could say He didn't choose them because, again, they were the most intelligent of all the people. They were the most gifted of all the people. They were the kindest of all the people. They were the most prepared of all. No, He didn't choose them for any reason, but because He chose to love them. He poured out His love on them. For God so loved, why has He chosen us? Why, again, what is the bottom line thing of Christmas? Love, God's love. Because He loved us. The most remarkable thing that's visible in the working out of the salvation that God provided through Jesus is His love. Turn to Romans 5. And I think that Paul, I don't know if Paul is thinking of Deuteronomy 7, if the Holy Spirit brought Deuteronomy 7 to Paul's mind when he writes this, but I think it's really parallel. And we quote this in Romans Road to Salvation, and in Romans, when you share the Lord with people, it's part of the Romans Road verses. But we always quote verse 8. I like verse 7 too. Look at what it says. Maybe we should go from 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. There's a picture, right? That's you, that's me. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. That's man's heart. That's man's understanding of this kind of thing. But that's not God's. But God demonstrates the outworking of God's love. When I think of God's love, again, it's hard for me. I know the definition of agape, God's love. But again, to put it into like a demonstration or a working, how is God's love worked out? He gave. And what he gave, give. He gave his son. Christmas. Now what, how did he do it? He demonstrates his love towards us. The outworking of God's love. In that while we were still sinners. Again, there's nothing intrinsically in you or I. Yeah, I've heard, you know, why did God choose you or I? Why were you or I saved? Or why are you and I doing what you and I are doing? And sometimes even in our testimonies, we begin to take away from God's greatness and away from God's grace, and we make it into something that, you know what, we really kind of earned it. Because we were talented musically, or we were talented, or maybe we God saw some value here or there, and his reward. No, it's not what it was. While we were yet sinners, we were God haters, we were enemies of God. But God loved the world, and I like the order that the Holy Spirit put that verse. For God so loved the world first. He was loving the world. Then he gave his son. And so did God do this because maybe of the worthiness even of his son? No. That's not why he did it. Not because there's merit. There is, but not that God was measuring merit even in his son. In giving his son. No, it's because God simply loves. God is love. And because of that love, the outworking of that love, is he looked upon a world that was lost, that was unsavable, that had no solution to the problem. And because of that, he gave. Because of that, he sent his son. Because of that, you know, we have the story that we're going to be looking at. Mary and Joseph and all that they went through and all that God did. God demonstrates his love toward us that in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3:1. Look at a couple other things just about. It's interesting that, you know, we start with John 3:16. It's always helped me to remember these verses. 1 John 3:16. Is a neat verse. But we'll start with verse 1 first of 1 John 3. Behold what manner of love, there it is, the Father has bestowed on us. When did he bestow? John gives us, again, a neat insight right along with John 3:16. That we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. The world didn't know Him. The world didn't care for Him. The world didn't honor Him. The world didn't worship Him. Again, there was nothing. There were no Furbies in the world that God, you know, was wishing to embrace. No. But God bestowed love upon the world. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. You know, this baby that will be born in the stable, in the cave, or whatever that, you know, in that manger. I'm familiar with mangers. That was my job growing up. Our cows faced each other. The mangers faced each other. And so in the morning, you'd go out and it just be there'd be all this slime in the feeding trough. That's where Jesus was born. You know, the smell, very, now that I've not been around it, I go to a farm and I go, how could I ever stand this? We didn't know we smelled. We didn't know that was what it was. How great the Father's love is that He bestowed upon the world, upon us, that He has called us children of God. Look down at verse 16. By this we know love, by what God has done. It's His very character. Because He laid down His life for us. Oh, Christmas should celebrate the love of God. And if anything, it should instill in us a desire to follow the example of God. If I'm truly filled with the Spirit, what's going to be the fruit of that? What's the fruit of this? And the fruit of the Spirit is love. Am I a person of love? When I think about Christmas, and I want to forget the gifts. I want to forget Jesus. When He looked, and guess what? He looked at people. And when He looked at people, when He looked at the multitude, what was in His heart? Compassion. You read it. When He saw the multitude, He had compassion. Because He had compassion on the multitude. Do I have a compassion for the multitude this morning? What's the multitude? They're lost. They're dying. They're going to hell. Their lives are hell. They're in bondage. They're in captivity. There's nothing good in their lives. I just want to run as far away from that as I can. Right? I want to live in my own little world. I want to protect myself from all that. I don't want to get involved in all that. How can I be filled with the Spirit of God, with the fruit of love, because God is love, and have all this other stuff, have all this other stuff dominate my life? He had compassion. He saw the multitudes. And He was able to feel in His heart for their condition. Now, because He had compassion on the multitudes, there they are, the world, then I think Jesus was able to do the next thing. He was able actually to touch people, to touch individuals. He saw individual needs. He saw people that were lame. He saw people that were broken. He saw people that were hurt. He saw people that were blind. And what did He do? He touched them, right? Didn't He? He healed them. He ministered to them. God is love. And I think that's how it's practically worked out. By this we know love, because of what Jesus did. He's the example. He laid down His life for us. And so if Jesus did that, then He's my example. I just follow in His footsteps. That's what Peter says. You know, I follow in His footsteps. And I'm willing to lay down my life for others. See, it's not about all this other stuff. It's about the love of God and what He showed us, what He's exemplified in His life for us. He's the, again, ultimate example. He loved us first. How can we not love Him? He laid down His life. I told you this last week. One of my favorite stories is when Jesus, a Pharisee, invites Him to dinner. He's going to sit down. He's going to invite Jesus into his home and have dinner with Jesus. But we read, as Jesus was invited, all of them were watching Him meticulously. Why? Because they had invited somebody else there too. And this was all happening on the Sabbath day. I would have went in, especially if the Pharisee was somebody of prominence, especially if the Pharisee was somebody that had position, maybe power. I would have wanted to stay close to Him, especially if it was somebody that I was familiar with. I would want to be seen with Him, because that would maybe better my stature, my place in the other people's eyes. I would want to be next to the host. It's not what Jesus did, and they knew He wouldn't do it. Jesus went into the house, and out of all the people that were there, the person with the greatest need, that's where His eyes were drawn to. And He immediately went and ministered to that person that had need. See, that's the example. And I look at my life and I think, you know what? Even when I think of this wonderful holiday, it's become so skewed. Really has nothing to do with need. I'm gonna bank out so bad if God sends somebody to my door with a need, I'd be able to do nothing. Maybe I had to get a fifth job to pay off, you know, what I've spent on myself. And see what I'm saying? I'm so overextended. Just so, because I'm so materialistic, I'm unable to even minister in some really basic ways. You know, that's why the government does it, right? The church isn't doing it. We've handed it right over to let the heathens do it. Church isn't doing it. Church can't hardly keep the electric bills paid. There's no heart. We've lost the capacity to see the multitudes. We don't have a heart for the multitudes. When was the last time I wept in tears? I sowed in tears because my heart broke so bad seeing the condition of the world. And it's the world that's right next to me. But yet I'm so hard to it. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't change me. It doesn't impact my heart. And yet God's the example. That love, agape, is what He is. And so for God, so in there, and there's a degree there, isn't there? So there. Oh, He's so loved. What the world that He gave. That's the kind of heart I want. I want to so love the world. That's God's heart. That's Jesus' heart. That He gave. I think of God's love. We can look one other place. Go, just flip over to chapter 4. Of 1 John. The apostle of love writes so much about love. Look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. See, that's a true test, isn't it? Yeah, I hear, you know, if I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm doing all these goofy things. I might even fall down. You know, that's the Spirit, you know, upon me. You know, I hear all these goofy things. I'm anointed with the Spirit. Jesus was anointed with the Spirit, and He shows us what the real anointing is. And what is it? And He came to preach the gospel to the poor. That's what the anointing is. Anything beyond that is just a sideshow, and it's a bunch of flesh. If the gospel isn't in it, it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. What is the Holy Spirit's main ministry? What does He have to do? Testify of Jesus. He has to do it. That's who He is. And so when He testifies of anything else, it's just me. It's just the flesh. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God's love. There it is. The very essence of God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. For God so loved the world that He gave. And I like John, again, in the Gospel there. Doesn't it say His one and, or am I putting that in? His one and only. And when I think of God's love, I want God's love to be the focus of my Christmas. And the outworking, right? Because if I'm in the vine, then there is going to be fruit, and the fruit is love. And so as I say, you know, this Christmas, this Christmas, I'm celebrating what God has done in Christ and through Christ and in sending Christ and sending His only Son. As a Christian, I want my life, right, to be a life of love rather than a life of selfishness. And I'm just being honest. That's mainly what it is. I'm always evaluating. I'm always maneuvering. I'm always manipulating so that I can get the best out of it. Not for Kim. Not for even the ones that I claim to love. For me. You know, what's going to make my life easier? What's going to benefit me? And yet God is love, and His whole focus wasn't God, right? It was the world. I want to think of the world. I want to have a heart for the world. That's what Christmas is about. It's about Jesus and what God did in sending Jesus. He gave Jesus. I think that should be our heart. We should want to give Jesus. We should be about the gospel. That's what Christmas should be. I want that love. I can see the multitudes. I have a vision that I see. I have compassion on them. And then I'm able to see individual needs. I'm able to touch other people. And again, I never even thought about this until a week or so ago. And what even blows my mind beyond that, what God did, was He not only touched people, but look at what He did. He allowed people to touch Him. What a God. Right? People touched Him. And I'm up here, I'm saying, nobody's going to... You know it's my birthday today, but that's all you're going to know. You know a little bit about me, but that's all you're going to know. And I'm going to do whatever I can to keep you from knowing anything else, because if you know anything else, then I'm going to become vulnerable. So I'm glad I live up on a mountaintop out in the country, surrounded by 300 acres. And guess what? I posted it. Don't you come on, don't you step on it. Don't come near me. Right? I mean, Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus said, you know what? I love you. And I would like to come and sit down with you and commune with you. I know you. I'd like you to get to know me. Right? I mean, and that blows my mind. That's the example of God. That we would... Are we willing to let people touch us? Oh my goodness. That goes against everything. Yeah, at least around here, I think there's not enough people. I mean, go to California. I live 4 inches from two different people, never saw them in my life, never saw them in all the years I lived out there. You go out, it's like a maze. You go out your door and there's these high fences and you walk down through them. I mean, everything's, there's these fences, walls. And you can stay, that's pretty hard, but you can stay pretty much away from people. And the whole world is designed that way. It's crazy. I kept wanting to jump up over. Who is that person? What do they look like? What do they look like? I don't want to just sit outside the end of the maze run. Oh, that's what you look like. They would call the cops. So, God is love. Just a couple of things about God's love. I was thinking of E words when I was thinking about this. And again, I'm thinking of John 4:10. I'm thinking of Colossians 1:21. Romans, again, 5, 7, and 8. Just the fact that God loved us, and to the degree He so loved the world, and He's chosen to love us. His love is excellent and entire. That might not be too deep, but I was thinking it's a complete love. He's provided, right? He's provided. Did He ask you or I for anything? Did He ask the world of anything? No. He has provided it all. He gave. He's love. This morning, you and I, all He's saying, I'm free. You're free to love me. You're free to walk as I've walked in love. And I will do it all for you. I'll enable you to live a life of love. When I think of love and when I think of that word agape, I've always thought agape, true love, is a selfless love. That's why it's so hard for me to identify with it. Because I'm all about self. It's a selfless love. It's almost a self destruct. That's not the right word. It's a love that gives and gives and gives and gives, right? And it's a love that in giving, God gave. Did He twist anybody's arm in here to worship Him today? To pray to Him? To say, Jesus, be a part of my life. Jesus, no. It's a love that gives and gives and gives and gives. I'm always wanting something back, expecting nothing in return. That's one of the pure definitions of the Greek agape. Giving, 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 expecting, and emptying. And what I like about it is an emptying, but yet what did he do? He exalts us. You're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're my heir. You're my joint heir. You're a king. You're a priest. You're a very special... We read it. Israel was a treasure. So are you and I. Wow. And I think that when we can choose to love, we experience those kind of things in our life. Because I think, doesn't the Bible teach that if I would humble myself and in essence empty myself, that God will exalt? I've said this so many times. They've had dinners and stuff like down. I've gone to a couple of them. They'll have volunteer appreciation dinners, like at the Rouse and different places. And I usually can't go, but I've ended up, last time I was there singing and I walked by, hey, we're having our dinner, come in here. And so Kim and I went in, had some pie or something, right? And they said, oh, we just want to recognize you. What you know, I go, geez. I have to say, it's my favorite thing to do. And there's some 3 weeks ago, we were doing a roof. Caleb and Mike and I, we had two roofs, in fact, we were doing. And Wednesday's the third day that we were on this roof. Up, down, hanging, climbing, hanging, man. I got to the Rouse at 6 o'clock and like I don't want to do this. I don't have the energy to do this. And by the time I was done, it's like, what? You're reborn. Right? I mean, here's these people and they're some of the most beautiful people. Not so much of the Rouse, but many of them forgotten. And they have families down there, but it's not the same. You know, now you're down there and we'll let them take care of you and maybe I'll pop in once in a while. And, you know, they're like, it's, and just to see what God does. And it blesses, I mean, God, it's an awesome thing. How, as you empty, as you love, how God will fill you up. Wow. There's nothing better than that. It's an enduring love, isn't it? God's love is enduring. It's eternal. That's another word we could use. I like God's love. It's not dependent upon my performance. His love is a constant love. My love, if I get peanut butter pie today, it's my birthday. Kim, I love you so much. But what if she made, what don't I like? I don't know, I like most desserts, so it's hard. Ah, yuck! She wouldn't be the great cook and wife. You see what I'm saying? I mean, just think of, you know, you interpret even maybe as you get home and you interpret a mood or and you react in the flesh and how everything can go south and you would, my favorite thing, Kim would know. If I'm bothered or upset or if I even get mad, I never get mad though, right? But just if I ever would, I'd get really silent. Like, you know what? I won't talk. I am not going to say a word, a peep. until she responds to me. The silent deal. Power. God's not like that, right? It's not dependent upon my performance or, you know. I can be in the deepest of sin and His love is the same. He doesn't love anybody here more one person than another. Wow. His love's expensive. For God so loved the world that He gave. Philippians 2, He was obedient even what? To death. He gave. His one and only. When was the last time He gave my one and only anything? Oh, geez, I got 5 guitars. I know. No, you can't play it. You know, it's just goofy. And you know what? And this might be one of the most beautiful attributes of God's love. It's emancipating. It's freeing. To be filled with God's Spirit and to be a person of love is the most freeing thing. You know, ultimately, initially in salvation, we're freed, we're set free. But then just to be that vessel, just to be that individual again that says, Lord, I want to see them. I want to see the multitudes. I want to see the masses. I want to see the world. I want to have compassion on the world. And as I do that, to see needs and to be willing to touch another soul for eternity. There's not. You can go on the dragster 100 times in a row and just feel the exhilaration, the speed, you know, being sucked back in your seat to go straight up and then to look straight down and whip down and around and, oh, that was so cool. Let's do it again. When we went to Disneyland, took the kids when they were little, there wasn't any lines. And my kids, they loved the Tower of Terror. So we went on that like 15 times in a row. Yeah, it's the most wonderful thing. There's nothing better than the experience God's love, and to give God's love, and to live and move in God's love. It is the most, again, I don't know what the most exciting thing in the world would be, knowing God is, loving God is, and serving God is. There's nothing better. Lord, help us this Christmas to experience Your love in a new way. To grow in our understanding of Your love and be willing to move and demonstrate Your love to others as You've demonstrated it to us, right?